Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 4th, which means election day today.
Yes.
Although many people are probably not going to vote, I'm not going to vote because there's nothing for me to vote on. There's nothing happening in California, you know?
Right.
Maybe a couple of measures or something, but I don't even know what's going on. But I don't know that we've had any congressional elections because I haven't really seen anything happening around here.
Yeah.
Right? There haven't been any ads or anything like that. So I assume there's nothing happening here. I'm sure if I've heard of something, I would have gotten involved.
Right. You know?
But we'll wait for next year or the year after for the president and stuff.
Yeah, I just saw so much on Facebook this morning about people, you should vote and why people should vote. And I was
right.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, it's a privilege to vote, you know, and especially when you become a new citizen. Once you become a citizen here, you want to vote, you know, because it gives you a good feeling, you know, being an American and everything.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, what am I voting on? You know, I mean, it's people I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know. But when it's important elections, then I, you know, I mean, these are important, but, you know.
The biggest, president is.
Yeah, it's not necessarily president, but I mean, if we had some people going for Congress or state government, like a governor or something, even a mayor, those things affect us, you know.
Right.
But when the big races are in other states, I can't really relate to it, you know. So a lot of people are going to go and post pictures, selfies with their I voted sticker on. I don't know why that's such a big deal that people have to show it off.
That's what I've seen so much of.
Yeah, make them feel important about themselves, you know. Oh, I went to vote. Well, big friggin' deal, you know.
People like being center of attention and knowing that, hey, I voted. I want you to know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that I'm a good person. I do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? We celebrate liberty. We celebrate independence, democracy. And those are like important things we take for granted that other people would give anything to have in other places in the world, you know.
Definitely.
So today we're going to have a couple of guests. They'll come in a little later, which is unusual. Usually guests are with us in the beginning. But they have some things they have to do, so we'll spend the last 20 minutes with them.
Awesome.
So how are you doing? Everything good?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not getting your wisdom teeth taken out this week.
No,
huh?
I had to postpone the appointment. These places are such a hassle to deal with.
I know. You know that the dentists have the highest rate of suicide of everybody.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, I remember that. And the thing is, you know, I don't know if I can blame them because I think everybody hates dentists.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate them, but for different reasons, not for the pain, but I think they're all ripoffs.
And, completely.
You know?
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, look, doctors can be bad too, but dentists, for the most part, you go in there, they always make you feel like shit about yourself. Oh, you don't do this, you let your teeth go, you do this, you do that, why don't you do this, why haven't you come in? It's like, oh, come on, just leave me alone and take care of my teeth, you know? But they're like that, you know? And now I found that this dentist I started going to some time ago. I don't go there anymore, but... and that was like a friend, somebody we knew. They were like charging you before you even go in.
Yeah.
They want the money. You know, it's like, what is this? You know, I'm not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And they probably have some problems with people that can't pay, but that's part of business, you know. You know who gets paid first? The hooker, you know. You pay her first, then you get the service.
Yeah.
The joke doesn't hold anymore. It used to hold a lot more water because... now everything is prepaid, you know. You get
right.
your gas, you have to pay first.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. You go to fast food, you pay first. So things like that, you know. But still, I'm not for that, you know, with doctors and stuff.
Right. And especially when it's so expensive.
It's really expensive.
And you have
insurance
and they'll only cover like 50% or 30%.
Barely, yeah. I mean, dental insurance sucks. You know, anywhere you get it, it sucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover anything. So you're stuck with these big bills. Every time you go to the doctor, something is increased by $200.
Right.
You know, today, I mean, like to get a crown today or a root canal, it's over $1,000, you know. I remember it used to be $300.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll
wisdom
rip you
teeth,
off.
It's like $2,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm only getting two out.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. I know, that's a lot of money, man, you know. And the thing is, yeah, they go to school, they earn it and stuff, but people don't have that kind of money, you know.
Yeah.
Got to get your teeth fixed. Or at least if they just stop being so condescending, it would be easier to go there.
Yeah, and the thing that sucks is, I mean, teeth are pretty much hereditary.
Right.
I brush my teeth probably too much, and I still have to have fillings because that's just, I take after my mom.
That's what they say, yeah.
And all my back teeth are going to end up being fillings, but that's just my teeth. I brush them so much.
Right.
My boyfriend, I mean, I probably brush my teeth up to 4 times a day.
Wow.
He sticks to just in the morning and night, and his teeth are perfect.
Really?
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. It's sickening.
I know. It is hereditary.
I brush my teeth so much and I have bad teeth.
I know. And I floss too and everything.
Yeah.
You know? But also as you get older, you know, your teeth get weaker and stuff.
Right.
Everything blows when you get older, for crying out loud. It just sucks, man. It really does. You know, I watched a movie yesterday with Renee Zellweger and I thought, God, she like looks so different now. She really does.
Yeah, I wonder how much she spent
on the surgery. You know? I don't know.
Probably a lot of money.
But I was watching Jerry Maguire, which I've never seen. I mean,
it's a good movie.
I went to it. I remember it was, what, probably 20 years ago. I went to see it with someone, and I was falling asleep during the movie, so I hated it, you know, because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to watch it again. It was on Amazon, and I thought, so it looks pretty good. I mean, I haven't really finished it. I watched about half of it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty good. So we'll see. And I'm planning to watch The Big Chill also. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't.
That's like from a long time ago with all-star cast. And it's a really cool movie because they're all friends that get together when someone dies, you know, a friend of theirs. So they all sort of like, it's like a reunion of friends and stuff, you know. It's a drama kind of movie. And, you know, a couple of them get involved romantically during that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all kinds of stories there.
Oh, cool.
So I remember it slightly, but I really want to watch it. It's a good, feel-good movie.
Yeah, those are the best
one
movies.
One of those, yeah. I know. And discussing movies, I guess the other day we said that Christian Bale was going to play Steve Jobs. So I guess those were just rumors not just rumors, but I mean, there was talk about it.
Right.
But he changed his mind, I guess, or never intended to. I don't know. But they're saying he declined the role. And so did Leonardo DiCaprio before that.
Hmm.
So they're saying that they turned down the role, so they don't know who they're going to go to now. But we'll see.
That's interesting that they turned it down.
Yeah.
I know. It can't be very appealing. They can't think the movie's going to be that successful.
Either that or maybe they're not getting what they want, you know,
as far as
pay and things like that. You know, I mean, these guys are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
you know,
for sure.
I would imagine they bargain hard.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. You know, and, but, you know, Christian Bale, I was reading up on this yesterday. It's not in this article, but I guess he was discovered when he was like in the movie The Empire of the Sun, which was, I remember, Steven Spielberg movie about China. So I guess he was a kid at that time in the movie and they discovered him. And man, he's become a big actor, you know?
Yeah, seriously. It's crazy
everywhere.
How you can get discovered like that, and they don't have any idea what he's going to grow into, how what he's going to look.
Right.
But they just knew that he had talent.
Right. I know. It's amazing. Some people are born into it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever act. I really don't. I don't think I could be anybody else.
Right. No, I'm not that good either.
Yeah.
Not good at pretending to be somebody else.
I know. Although, you know, you never know. Maybe if we go to acting school, maybe we'll be able to do it. But
maybe.
I think you have to have a love for it, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. You have to have a passion for anything you do.
Yeah, you really do. And I'm currently reading the book by Gene Simmons, who's the leader of the band Kiss. And I know I'm bringing up a lot of older stuff, but Kiss has been around for a long time. And you know who they are with the yeah. makeup and stuff, mm-hmm. right?
So I suppose some people dress up as them as Halloween.
Yeah, that's Halloween. An easy costume, you know?
yeah.
Because they're all made up and stuff. But you know what? The book is called Me, Inc. And it's so cool because not only does he tell you about his life, but he also gives you some great advice of things he's learned over the years. And I find this to be a great, great book. I would highly recommend it. He tells you about, you know, you learn about rock, how he got started with the band, and how he approached it as a business. And ever since then, I mean, that band has really, I mean, it wasn't around for a long time. Then they came back, then they disappear, mm-hmm. then they come back. But to this day, they're still relevant, you know.
Yeah.
They sell a lot of merchandise and stuff. So they make a lot of money. And so he gives you some, you know, life lessons and things like that, and which spoke to me, you know. Like one thing, for example, he says, I don't buy anything I don't need, you know. And the thing is that I buy a lot of things I don't need. I buy things I want, you know.
I feel like a lot of people do that.
Right. But then you struggle financially, you know, because it's like you go
Oh, you have a lot of clutter.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. But I feel that, and he says, if you want to have a lot of money, don't go spending, you know. I mean, it's very simple. But I'm a spender for the most part.
And when I feel like I agree with that, but also when you're working hard, you deserve to enjoy your money.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't take a vacation or buy this or the occasional book or jewelry or something, you know, but I think on a regular basis, that's what he means. You
yeah.
know? Maybe don't go out to dinner every night, you know, maybe.
Right. That's, yeah, know. When you have food in the fridge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes you go out not for the food, but more for the company, for the experience.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but still, you don't have to go every day.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And there's other things, you know. I mean, I just go on Amazon sometimes and just buy things that, you know, I bought a printer. I already have a printer, but I had to have a wireless one, you know.
Well, you could sell the other one you have.
How are you going to sell it? Those are like $60 printers, you know, all those, inkjet printers
yeah.
that they sell now. Multifunction and everything, they sell for less than $100. So how much are you going to get for it? You know,
you can still try. Bucks? I'm sure. I feel like you get about $40-$50 if you put it on Craigslist.
No, not if you spend. Not if you paid $60 for it. Yeah, I'm telling you, Craigslist people try to get everything for nothing.
Yeah, they bargain you down. Yeah. Yeah,
you wouldn't be able to sell it for more than $10. I'm sure. So I'm just like, I'll just give it to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
yeah, you know.
yeah.
But I'm just giving you an example of things that I buy that I don't need, you know, so.
Yeah.
And he
well, if it's going to make your life easier, which a wireless printer might,
yeah.
then there you go.
That's true. And get me to do work that I wouldn't normally yeah. do with a regular printer.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know, but I don't know. I don't know. I just feel that I need to save more money. And it's very important. But so he talks about that. He talks about how he changed his identity. You know, he says, look, I wanted to be a rock star. I was a Jewish guy. He was actually born in Israel, believe it or not. He migrated to America with his mom after his dad left them. And he moved to New York to be with an uncle and stuff with his mom. And so he had a Jewish name and everything. And he realized, if I'm going to be in a rock band, I need a new name, you know. So he came up with a new name, and he says, you know, you might take issues with that. You might think it's like betraying your family or your heritage or stuff. But he says, your name is something that is so part of you, and yet you don't get to choose it, you know.
Yeah.
Other people choose it for you, and you may not like it. So it makes sense, you know. It started to make sense to me. And he says, mm-hmm. especially if you want to be something, you've got to market yourself as a package. You can't market yourself as a rock star with a name like what was his name? Gene? No, not Gene, because he gave himself the name Gene. Before that, he was Klein, Chaim Klein. Yeah, try to pronounce Chaim, right, when you're not Israeli.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So he said, you know, I need to change this, you know, so... And it was actually Chaim Weitz in the beginning, you know. I mean, how do you become a rock star that way, right?
Right.
So he realized this is not, you know, I want to be a rock star in America. I need to be palatable to people. People mm-hmm. have to be able to...
Relate.
To relate, you yeah. know, and stuff. So, and then he started developing the look of Kiss and things like that. You know, he had a band, but...
Big transformation, I'm sure.
Yeah, from- you know, and... Yeah, you know, and I don't know. He hasn't really talked about his long tongue yet, but he's got the longest tongue, you know. That's his, like, trademark, you know.
Yeah.
He, like, you know, sticks out his tongue and it gets to his chin, to the bottom of his chin.
Maybe he had a tongue extension.
Yeah, right? No, some people are like that, you know.
Yeah.
I remember once we had a woman here who happened to be in porn, but that was a long time ago, and she has the longest tongue I've ever seen. It was amazing, you know. You go, how could people fit that into their throat,
right.
you know, such a big tongue?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe she had a big mouth, too. Yeah.
Someone posted a picture on Facebook of a tongue that was taken out of a person. Oh. I mean, why would you do this? You know, why are they showing me shit like this on Facebook? I get, like, so irritated sometimes.
Yeah, it's
they have
not,
things that are terrible.
Yeah, not necessary. No one wants to see yeah, that.
It's, like, gross, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But did you hear, yesterday I was going to talk about the guy that did the high rope?
No, and I saw it advertised so much, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. I started watching the video, and they're showing, like, his feet on the wire, and I'm going... Wow, I can't even watch this.
Yeah,
and
it
you
was,
know he didn't fall. You know, mm-hmm. I know he didn't fall or anything, and still, it's hard for me to watch it.
Right. I mean,
isn't that something?
The advertisement was just crazy when you saw how high and he would stand on that. He was standing on the edge of the building, and
right.
And it's just like, oh, I don't even want to watch it.
I
actually would have watched it, but I forgot about it.
Yeah, they said they had like the media sign releases. That if they like get if they faint or if they pass out or something happens,
they're not liable.
From,
that's really funny.
Yeah, if he falls or something, you know. But I mean, no harness, no nothing. You know.
Yeah, I just don't know why anyone would want to do that.
Yeah,
but I guess he's getting so much. He's got to make so much from just one time doing it.
Right. Yeah, and he's part of a family that have done this for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I
how
guess
how do you learn to do that?
I don't
know. It's like
know.
Your dad says one day, come and learn what everyone in your family has done.
Right.
It's like, what? That's so weird.
Wow. I don't know, you know, and I'm sure they don't get to practice this, you know.
Yeah, right?
I mean, he practices it somewhere else, I'm sure, but not... I mean, my God, how can you even, like... I can't even look down from a window.
Seriously.
When I'm that high.
I watched one that I think was at the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I wonder if it was the same.
Yes, yes. They the have same. That there, too.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh.
I
would not want to... Like, why do you do that?
Right. Crazy people.
There's helicopters flying around and... Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Crazy people, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
But what would happen if he actually did fall? I mean, that would be... Would ruin the show.
That would be big news. Let's say,
yeah,
let's just say that.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Definitely.
We talked yesterday about. I think we just touched on this. That this man killed his daughter's rapist. Did we talk about this yesterday?
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah. Well, this apparently is in India. And this man suspected this guy for being the rapist of his daughter. And so he invited him to dinner. Invited him to dinner. And then burned his genitals with tongs, with hot tongs. Tortured him and then killed him.
Yikes. So obviously he had this plan the whole time. I mean, but why? The rapist must have thought, why is he inviting me to dinner?
Right.
That's
maybe,
weird.
Maybe it was a friend of the girl or something, you know.
Maybe.
And, you know, she was someone they were hanging out with anyway. So it just, they can come in, I guess. They're already here. I don't know why they're, they probably planned, oh, we're going to be here at 9 or 10:30. Then we won't go in. Those are our guests. They're waving to us and not coming in. I don't know why. But okay.
Is the guy getting put in jail? Is he been arrested?
He has been arrested, yes. You know, they're saying, okay, let's see. He invited the man, a medical supplier who lived in the same neighborhood. He invited him to dinner at his home, serving him food and drug-laced soft drinks. He then gagged the 45-year-old man with a bedsheet and carried out the torture before strangling him. Wow.
Yikes.
I mean, that's definitely what you feel like doing when your daughter gets raped, I'm sure.
Yeah, just not many people follow through.
Yeah, you know. And the thing is, you know, you go, well, do you blame him? Do you not blame him? I mean, my God, you know.
Right.
And it's so it's I mean, but these happen like in these cultures because there's no bullshit, there's no politically correct there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, but the problem with the rape in India is just outrageous, you know.
Yeah, I it's terrible.
Yeah, so he's in jail now, awaiting trial, I guess. Yeah.
Wow, there was a man in Australia who taxied his plane down a street and parked it outside a bar.
Wow.
And the police are saying it's not funny. The plane has no wings, so if a gust of air had blown away, like blown through,
right,
the plane would have been blown away. It was a time where kids were getting out of school, but I guess this man had been deemed a legend at the bar,
right,
for taxiing his airplane.
Okay, so it was an airplane without wings, and he just drives it pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell? So he turned his plane into a car.
Yeah. And one onlooker said that they said special, but I guess I think it's more funny. Part of the situation was a policeman was looking through the window, poking his head through the door, looking for who was driving it. Like he was going to ask for his license.
Yeah.
But it's like, what possesses you to drive your airplane down a street?
Yeah, I'm going to text her to send in our guests here so they don't have to wait out there. I guess this is like a bone-chilling tale. This mother told the police she threw her boy off a bridge in Oregon, a six-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. And his remains have just been found. His body has just been found, right?
Yeah, they found it in the freezing cold river.
Yikes!
I mean, we keep seeing this stuff, but
it seems to be getting more and more. Seems to be happening more and more.
It does, you know. It does happen, and the thing is. You know, I mean, the person you trust the most, it's your mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's your mother. I mean, you know, no words. Absolutely no words for something like this. They're saying even if he survived the 100-foot fall, you know, nobody can survive more than like 15, 20 minutes in the water.
Wow.
So that was probably a slow death for him.
Mm.
Wow.
How old was he?
6 years old.
So he knew.
Yeah, he understood what's going on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. I mean, those stories, you know, they really, like, make me angry.
Yeah. It turns my stomach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's this story that pretty controversial now. And, you know, I'm not sure I quite understand this, but let's look at this. Lena Dunham, do you know who she is? From the series Girls, right?
Right.
The show Girls?
Mm-hmm.
I've never knew who she was.
I know the name.
Right. But now she's in the news because she wrote a book called Not That Kind of Girl. And in the book she described that when she was 7 years old, maybe, she probed her one-year-old sister's vagina. Yeah, when she was seven. Out of curiosity. And compared it to hers. So people now are saying that this was sexual abuse and all that stuff. My question is, what does a seven-year-old know? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, kids play doctor all the time. I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I know that many kids do, you know? I mean, my kids were doing things when they were little. You know, I mean, I remember my son, he was in elementary. I don't know what grade, first, second grade, kissed a girl in her vagina or something, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, through the clothes, I'm sure, but, you know, or whatever, you know, his dad's son, right? But it, so she's like really furious about this, you know. And I mean, obviously, she doesn't feel it was wrong because she wrote about it in the paper,
right?
In her book, I mean.
Yeah, to be so open about it, she obviously didn't. She didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, you see, I mean, look, it's a baby, it's a 1-year-old sister, but come on, it's not like, you know, it's not like a. I don't know. I mean, when it's two kids, I think it's not a big deal.
Right.
Just like, you know, when there's two teenagers having sex, nobody is blaming everybody for rape or statutory rape and stuff. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's kids playing, you know. So, yeah, you know, I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
So our guests are coming in. They're here. Our guests are here. What do you know? We thought you were just saying hi and then went back to the waiting room. I thought you guys should just come in, you know. You might as well. You're already here. You know.
Hey, we had to talk it out.
Yeah, there you go. So we have Kelly Miller, in the studio and Deborah Mandel, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Why are you pointing at her? She's Deborah?
That's Deborah. Yes,
man, I got it backwards.
But I can be Deborah if you want.
Yeah, I totally got it backwards. I can't believe it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Apologies.
At first, I even forgot your last names. I had to polish up on that last night.
Yes,
I just remembered Kelly and Deborah. I'm very good with names when it's first name. You know, last name, I don't remember very well. So there you go. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
So speak closer to the mic so we can hear you very well.
Because we have to get practice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you guys are going to be hosting a show here starting when?
Yeah, so we're very excited. We're having a new show November 18th at 1 o'clock Pacific time. And it's called Talk It Out with Dr. Deborah. That's moi. And
that's
my co-host, Professor Kelly.
Are you doctor too?
No, okay, I'm a therapist, but go by Professor Kelly.
I see. Okay. Everybody's got a title these days, you know?
You got to.
I'm Mr. Sam.
Mr. Sam.
I don't have any.
Miss Trollin.
No titles other than a 4-year degree, so I didn't work very hard. But I guess you earned the title, you know? I mean, when you work hard, you go to school and stuff, you know, might as well, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Kelly has a master's in social work, and I have a PhD, and I went ahead and got licensed as a clinical psychologist. So
That's pretty cool.
A practice, but we thought together we wanted to do this about 6 mm-hmm. years ago, and timing just wasn't right, you know.
Right.
She had to go off and have babies and raise them somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
and now it's right.
So you weren't living here when you had your babies?
So I've been in LA 3 times. This is my 3rd time moving back.
Oh wow.
It pulls me in. But yeah, I was pregnant with my first son and thought maybe I should go home to my parents, get the free babysitting.
Yeah, so that's true, huh?
Yeah. So and I went back east.
Yeah, and they get a lot of great pleasure from that too, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. So where were you born and raised?
Maryland. Yep.
Oh wow.
East Coast.
And so did you have a nice childhood there in Maryland?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it was a great place, but you can't beat this weather. I'm sorry.
That's true. I was about to say, is the big difference in the weather.
Oh, God. Well, that was another thing that pulled me over here is just that, I mean, the winter was just so brutal. I've got 2 boys. It was too much. So
you decided that's it.
Yes.
So at what age did you decide to move to, did you move directly here to LA or did you move somewhere else?
So I was 21 the first time, then got my master's, went back east, got my master's in social work, met my husband. Mm-hmm. We came back when we were married in 2005, mm-hmm. then left in 2009, had my kids, and then just came back recently, about 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. You're Thank still you. A native, though.
Yeah, right? Sort of, I guess so. Yeah. Maybe 3 times makes
a newbie
you.
Native now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And how about you? Where did you start off your life?
I started here in Southern California.
In Southern California.
And I'm here in Southern California.
I never left. She was smart.
I went to school in Santa Barbara. Uh-huh. I went to school in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. So,
but, you know, interestingly, just in the last year, I purchased a investment property that I intend to live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, because I said a couple years ago, I am not going to say at the end of my life, looking back, that I only lived in Southern California.
Yeah.
Because I have an international family. My father was born in Poland, and he was a Holocaust survivor, and he fled, and he's lived everywhere, and he passed away a couple years ago, and my mom passed away a while back, and she was born in Estonia and lived in Sweden, and then my sister was born in Canada. So I have an international family, and
yeah,
here
definitely.
I am, a Southern California girl. It just sounds so boring.
And where did your parents meet?
They met in Canada.
Oh, in Canada.
At a coffee shop. My dad walked by a window with his friend who happened to know my mom through his wife.
Okay.
And my dad said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Really?
Wow.
He did.
Wow,
it's amazing how many people say that.
I know.
You know. I mean, I would love to marry some of the girls I see, but I don't think I stand a chance.
You never know.
You never know. You got to do something,
yeah.
Right? That's awesome. So you consider yourself a native, would you say, of Southern California?
Yeah, native Southern California and first generation. So at least that's a little
different.
Sexy
there you
to
go.
Say.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And I guess first generation American, right?
First generation American, yeah. So I have all of that background, European heritage, cultural stuff. And oftentimes in school when I was younger, people asked me where I was from because my parents together spoke, I think, 12 languages, but none the same.
Oh yeah.
So they didn't speak English.
Whoa.
So I don't really know how many words I misspoke and mispronounced and all of that.
What did they communicate in?
They learned English. That's what they both were learning English because they did not speak the same. My mother spoke a little bit of Russian because as an Estonian and being right next to Russia. And my father spoke some Russian because he ended up in the Siberian camps after the war. So he learned Russian as quickly as possible. So.
I'm sure he's had some stories over the years to tell you about,
huh? Many stories.
Wow.
But we won't get dark and
no, we don't need to.
Today.
We don't need to. But we can't forget, you know. I mean,
yes,
we can't forget our history and everything.
But I think it is part of what brings Kelly and I together because I think combined we both have a lot of unique experience in our backgrounds, and that's what we really want to share with our listeners is for people to understand that we can understand a lot, and we want people to feel comfortable and safe to call us, to talk to us, to ask their questions, to share their pain, and let us know what's going on so we can help give them some tips for thriving and move them on their way.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I think there's this misunderstanding that psychologists or therapists have perfect lives and they don't really understand, but I think a lot of us have gone through our own traumas and experiences and it makes us better therapists.
And I think that often drives you to become a psychologist or something, you know? Because I remember when I was going through hard times and stuff, I said, God, I've learned so much now about depression and all that stuff that I want to help other people.
It's
you know, and because I like if you figure out a way to get over it and stuff, you know. So how did you guys meet?
Oh, we met through a mutual friend.
Oh,
who set us up and said you guys would be perfect together to start something.
Yeah.
You know, radio show group.
Right.
Whatever.
When
that
was that?
That was six.
Yeah, that was
four.
Sometime
no,
ago.
Eight. I think it's 8 years
eight
ago.
Years ago.
Oh,
eight
wow.
years
ago.
So you met here in L.A.?
We met here in L.A. Actually, we had a meeting in my office in Encino, and we hit it off and said, oh, this is great. And then we actually embarked on trying to put a radio show together. We did the whole press kit, everything. We did a demo. We were very excited. And she says, oh, I'm moving to Maryland. Like, you can't.
Isn't that horrible?
But we didn't really have the technology savvy ourselves to know how to pull that off from two, you know, we were talking about, the coasts, two hosts from coast to coast.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, today you could do it, but back then, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, right next door, we have a woman hosting the show from the studio here, and her co-host is in Tennessee.
And then
they have two guests from other parts of the country. So it's amazing that we can do that.
Right.
You know, and people can sound like they're in the same room with they're in different parts of the world. You know, I mean, we have one from Australia, and her co-host is in New York, and they do a show together.
I bet that's hard to get the time difference, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, someone's up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, there you go.
I would not be want that.
But she loves it that badly, you know, so.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. So you became friends, too, not just colleagues.
Exactly.
And,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, and that's the bond that kept us connected throughout all these years. And just we were able to share stories and help each other out through different times, and it was great. It
Very
was just
cool.
great. And then it was just music to my ears when she said, we're moving back.
It was so sweet. Dr. Deborah said she cried when I told her.
I did.
Really?
It was really sweet. Yeah.
I started looking for houses for her.
She did. She was totally trying to help me. It was great.
Yeah. There's nothing
I was trying to get
greater.
You closer to where I live. I was Woodland Hills. Might be better than Studio City.
Sure.
There's nothing better, I think, than a great friend. Would you say?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because even family, it's like sometimes you just don't like your family because it's not in my case.
Did you say sometimes?
Yeah, I guess.
Did you actually say
with some
sometimes?
People? Yeah, that's true. Because I don't have that issue. I mean, I don't really have anybody in my family I don't like, but I know that some people don't. You know, and the thing is because you don't get to choose your family. You know, you just mm-hmm. we were talking also about you don't get to choose your name. You know, so how some people so it's not such a weird thing to change your name. You know, because right. I'm like reading a book where somebody's talking about this, and I'm thinking the things that you don't get to choose, you have to live with them. You know, so family you have to tolerate, but friends you get to choose who you hang mm-hmm. out with. You know,
yeah.
so that's a cool thing.
Right.
And so, how many kids do you have now? Two, three?
Two. Don't get me any more.
No, two no. is enough
three,
for you.
No, because then you'll be moving back.
Exactly.
Don't yeah, you have to move kid. Back again to yeah. the cold weather, right?
No, I've got two.
Yeah, that's yeah. cool.
Two boys.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, I should wow. say that. Yeah.
They are adorable and beautiful. They are. But I don't, of course, don't have to hang out with them 24 hours.
Thank God they're cute. Otherwise, I don't know, it'd be a different situation.
I know, I know. Well, I figured, and I always say that's why nature makes them cute, so we will love them, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine if babies were not cute, you know?
Oh, my God.
If they were ugly or something, if they looked like reptiles or something, you know?
Yes.
We wouldn't love them, you know?
And so Dr. Deborah like, is like the baby whisperer. She's so good with them.
Really?
She's really great, yeah.
Yeah.
And thanks. She's got a daughter who's grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a 21-year-old.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. So you have the only one?
I only have one.
Only the
yes.
one.
And one was plenty, and she's still plenty.
Right. Huh?
She's a delight. I call her my butterfly because you just never know where she's going to land, but wherever she's flying, she's always beautiful.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
sweet. Poetic.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. I was like, wow.
I know.
Well,
it's true. She's just, she's made me grown up in many ways because yeah. I had to change a lot of my biases and my thought patterns about what my daughter was going to be when
yeah.
she grew
kids
up.
Kids will do that to and, you. They'll ground you, you know?
Yeah. And I had to become humble. My version of your life is not necessarily your version of your life.
Yeah.
And I learned
mm-hmm.
that and that actually helped us create a really beautiful bond and magnificent relationship because she feels respected and honored and cherished for who she is and the choices she makes and accepts that I'm not going to control those.
Right.
And it gives me a lot more peace of mind. It's like, okay, those yeah. are your choices.
That's
yeah.
cool. So
acceptance.
And that help, yeah. yeah, I mean, and plus you're involved in that kind of work and stuff. So it's cool that you can actually change your way of thinking with your kids, you know, because, I mean, and that's what kids will do to you. I mean, they're like, there's no politically correct with them. You know, they'll tell you straight to your
yes.
face, you know. And, you know, you're this and you're this and you're that. And you go, you know what? You're right, you know.
It's true. The kids are your best mirror, I think, too.
Yeah.
You really have to look inside to your own issues, too, which I think is hard.
That's true. And so how old are you kids now?
5, and the younger one will be 2 in a couple of days.
Oh, wow. So you yeah. have your hands full.
Absolutely.
That's why you had to come in late, right? Because you've got kids to take care of and stuff.
Well, that and just life in general, it's tough.
Right.
It really is. Yeah,
yeah.
Balancing it all.
Kelly also does a lot of acting. She does commercials, and she's been in that circuit for a while. What
yes,
do you have working
it's
on?
Good. It's my escape. I just did a Dyson's vacuum commercial. That was really fun to
really?
Do.
Really? Wow.
I booked that. And, yeah, I mean, that. I think I like that, the sort of highs and lows of it. It kind of keeps life exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, are you psychologist by profession?
Therapist.
A therapist.
Yes, that's my
well,
background.
Well, isn't that the same thing, though, psychologist and a therapist?
No, psychologist is what she, it's a PhD.
I see, okay. I see, so you have to have the title in order to
right.
be called a psychologist, a clinical psychologist.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're a therapist. What is like MS?
MSW.
MSW mm-hmm. and stuff. So,
but I like that and stuff. Yeah. Tell me what yeah. the stuff is. Sam.
I'll tell you what the stuff is.
That's W and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
There's other things. There's MC. There's
yeah,
like
MFT.
Marriage, MFT, marriage, right. family therapist, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's well, that's why I said stuff.
But I'm teasing.
Yeah, because there's more than one title. I know. Because I've been going to therapist over the years, so I know what's out there. You know. Now, how did you get involved in that kind of work?
Gosh, let's see. How did it start? I mean, I always had an interest. I remember in eighth grade, we had like a fair at our school, and I don't know, I gravitated toward like a counselor position. I always loved helping my friends, and so I think it came kind of naturally to me to counsel and sort of help. I think I have a lot of empathy and real sensitive. Like I mentioned, I think having, you know, my own experiences in life kind of drove me to that as well. And so I don't know, something pulled me toward going to, I went to University of Pennsylvania, something pulled me to go there. And I remember writing my journal, like, I don't know, something's just kind of telling me it's right.
Right.
And then I met my husband there as well. So I think that was really nice. But, I don't know, I like in the helping professions and kind of seeing the work that you can do and helping people grow and learn and
that
kind of thing.
Do you work with a certain like age range, like just adults or just children or both?
I've worked with all. Most of my experience has been with adolescents, but now I'm maybe gravitating more towards adults. So I think that's the nice thing about the field. It's pretty open. You can kind of do a lot with it.
Right.
I'm the adult she gets to experiment with.
Oh yeah.
that's a hard day's work.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Now, you felt strongly about the profession because you decided to go for a PhD and everything. What made you decide to, what attracted you to this?
Yeah, I love that question because I really never know how to answer it. So
really?
No, it is very similar to what Kelly was describing in terms of I was that kid where people came to me with, you know, what did Charlie Brown with the 5 cent
exactly.
thing? I was, you know, the 5 cent, you have a problem, come to me. And I was always finding the birds with the broken wings and the lost kittens and the this, and always just out there searching and curious. And I just love the human mind. I always thought it was fascinating how people could jump to a conclusion about somebody's behavior. And when you really got down to understanding that person, it was usually way different than the conclusions that people drew.
That's true.
And so it helped me to learn to not be judgmental and instead to become curious instead about people. And so it just made me a natural fit for people in pain and in distress to know that they could come and hear compassionate words instead of, really? That's so stupid. Or why would you do that? You know, as many of us heard growing up. And I did have a challenging childhood as well. And I remember being about 15 years old and crying and asking my parents, please, can I go to therapy? I want to go to therapy. And they're like, what, are you crazy? Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. Usually it's the other way around. The parents drag you to the therapist.
Exactly. So no, they were too nervous about that. You know, that maybe some of their, because they, you know, they had rough
times.
There's
been stigma and stuff. With going,
especially Eastern Europeans.
Well, I was just going to say, Eastern European, it's not like America where therapy is like embrace. Like, I'm going to my therapist.
Sure.
It's not like that.
That's true.
So I actually remember being at a party and some of my parents' friends at the house, you know, and I was serving the hors d'oeuvres and somebody said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a psychologist. And they said, not a psychiatrist. I said, no, I don't want to prescribe medicine. I really want to sit in an office and have people come.
You actually have a personality, right?
Yeah.
Because psychiatrists don't.
It's true. A lot of them don't. I know.
They're just like, they're very cold. And the thing is, you have to wonder because, okay, so you're a doctor, right? Okay, so it's a serious profession, but so are physical doctors and, you know, and or like physicians. And they don't treat you like crap, but every psychiatrist I've been to has been a very like calculating type of a person that no compassion or anything. They just sit there with their computer and they put the equation together for your medication. So, but some people don't understand that, you know, because like in the movies, people go to a psychiatrist and actually get therapy from him or her.
Right.
And there are two versions of psychiatrists. The psychiatry that you're talking about is somebody who goes to medical school specifically and is learning only about the brain and biochemical, physiological, neurological changes and how medication can help that.
Right.
But then there's another track of psychiatry for people who actually do learn about therapy as well, and they incorporate a little bit of that into their practice. And
I see.
The more humanists. They're the ones that you want to sit with who actually will say a few kind words to you while they're prescribing the medication.
Right.
And I found that some of the ones that went to medical school to just strictly do psychiatry, I think, that, again, the version that you're talking about, many of those, they couldn't get into the other areas of medicine because psychiatry was traditionally seen as the easier version. So I think some of them may be a little bit
resentful,
maybe
That's
mentality and stuff. And so the ones that I have met that I refer my patients to who may need medication are definitely those who have a kind heart, who are compassionate, who listen, who have that other training, but also who wanted to get into psychiatry because they, too, were fascinated with the psychopharmacology of the mind, the
right.
way the brain works and how neurochemistry interacts with behavior. And so they really find it fascinating.
Right. And not just because they had to do it, because
yes.
they didn't get into another. Right.
So I hope I haven't offended any of my psychiatrist friends who are also.
It's okay. The cold ones know who they are. You know,
it's true.
We don't have to name.
We don't want them prescribing awful things to my patients, though.
No, I mean, for the most part, they know their job, though. I mean, you have to admit, many of them actually can save lives. You know, with the medication and
Absolutely.
Stuff. You know, I know that. You know, it's like you see people, I mean, teenagers and stuff, having a really hard time adjusting and stuff. And you go, you know, it's, you know, you feel they're not even ready for therapy, right? I mean, people like get into a situation where they're not even stable. They're like so down on themselves and so depressed that I think medication has to come before even therapy. Is that? Do you think that's correct?
I think it's a combination. Do you agree?
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, but at a certain point, I'm sure somebody will come to you and you probably feel, I can't work with you, you
well,
know, because you're too suicidal or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Years ago, I worked at an agency where it was for children who had been removed from the homes and because of problems with their families, et cetera. And I worked with this young man, must have been 14, 15 years old, and he had attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity type. To the max. He could not, he was a jumping bean. He literally could come in the office and he would be jumping on the desk and jumping on this. And then yeah. if I was able to get his parents to come in and the rest of the family, all of them were jumping on the
wow.
desk. All of them. And I said,
so
okay.
then you realized where it came from.
That he couldn't, exactly yeah. to your point, there was no way that he could sit and have therapy because he couldn't even sit still
right.
for longer than a minute. So he actually needed to have medication
right.
and that was able to be instrumental so that he could sit for long enough to actually have a conversation.
Right.
And focus.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's one example. And I also, I've seen people that were too down to even be able to be helped, you know, because they're like, they're so unstable
right.
that they can't even think straight.
Right.
You know, therapy has to make sense to you. If it doesn't make sense to you, then it's not going to help you.
Sure.
You know.
Do you guys ever get really just sad by all the patients that you see and all the cases that you're having to help people with because it's so emotional?
Yes.
Yeah.
One word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're
yes.
human beings after
of
all.
Of course.
You know,
but I think there's that gift in being able to help them. And so that's yeah. what's nice. It's like, you know, they're coming to your office. So at least you know they're deep down they want to get better. And
right.
I don't know. I think for me, there's some joy knowing it's not going to be like that forever mm-hmm. for them.
There is, and there are tools that I certainly practice. I know Kelly practices that we actually will help clients with is how to become a little bit more of a filter system. So it's kind of like when I absorb and take things in, I actually have an exit, the exit in my mind, the exit in the universe that I send some of that pain
right.
out. So it filters through as opposed to sticking with.
Right.
Yeah. That's because I've heard, I mean, I've asked this question many times of therapists and psychologists and stuff. And they say that you've got to find a way to recharge and re-energize yourself outside of the office because sure. it can suck so much of your energy, I'm sure, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what the name of the show is, when it starts, and when can people listen to it?
Talk It Out, starting November 18th at 1 o'clock Pacific time with Dr. Deborah.
And Professor Kelly.
Okay, sounds good.
And it is a call-in show, so we
yes,
are encouraging
please.
People, even right now, as you're listening, take down the call-in number. What is the call-in number?
Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. Are you going to be in this studio here? In Studio 1, right?
Yes.
It's Channel
yes.
1.
Mm-hmm.
323-203-0815.
Okay, perfect.
We're conducting business on the air here.
And we have an email set up already, which
exactly.
is...
Exactly. It's talkitout, I think it's talkitoutradio@gmail.com. Is
okay.
that what it is, or talkitoutadvice? I have to...
okay.
Well, that's very soon we will be up on the Talk It Out, the LA Talk Radio
exactly.
website.
We'll
have
all
the information.
The links
right.
and everything. Now, if people want to find you real quick for your services and stuff, do you guys have a website or anything?
Yes. Sure. Dr. Deborah Online.
Uh-huh.
.com, D-R-D-E-B-R-A, online.com.
Okay,
and
sounds
I just
good.
Have just a basic website. It's www.kelly, K-E-L-L-I, Miller.com.
Sounds good. Awesome. Okay, ladies, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you.
A
thank
lot
you.
Of fun, a lot of great information, and we wish you a lot of luck with the show. I know you're going to do great. You have a great chemistry between you,
yes.
and that's very important for a radio show.
Thank you very
okay,
much.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Charlotte. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Best in morning radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.